From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
This is the G and Ursula Show. This hour of the show is brought to you by Tycor Title. We are waiting for Governor Inslee. He is going to be doing a press conference live right here. It's going to be played right here on Cairo Radio, the G and Ursula Show.
And we do know some of the things that he's going to be talking about. For one, the state is now going to be suspending most Department of Transportation construction projects. The TOT is going to be asking contractors to basically shut down their construction sites by the end of today. The agency has called for at least a two-week work stoppage. The state says it's going to use this time to make sure that contractors have the appropriate protective equipment and procedures when those projects start up again. So, again, we are awaiting for the governor to hold his news conference, which are we getting any more details?
My man Larry said he was going to say presser in my ear. That's the new thing he's going to say once they
presser,
get ready.
Good.
He's going to say presser in my ear.
Larry is running the board.
Larry's wearing a lot of red today.
I know. Yeah. I know. I see that. But you too.
We do have some, I do have some texts because one of the questions we had asked, what do you want to hear from our leaders? Mm-hmm. We asked that, and we you and I both talked about what we want to hear, and I think both you and I agreed we want transparency. Mm-hmm. Right, that's really what we want. As you get ready to lead us, start telling us the truth, because what will the truth do? Well, according to what you and everyone else says, we have to do things by hours, like things change by the hour. Mm-hmm. Well, when you don't get the all the way truth, non-truth will hurt us when we only have hours.
Yeah, well,
to get things
confusion.
The right way. Absolutely.
Yes.
Some of the texts right here, Ursula, as far as essential businesses, that's a lot of the texts that we get all the time. Well, what's essential? What's not? And all that. 425 says, I'm quite a bit concerned on how contractors and business owners are not taking Governor Jay Inslee's explanation of essential construction jobs seriously. There is construction going on at a Renton Boeing 737 MAX facility. Boeing and Skanska USA claim it is exempt as it is under necessary transportation. But how can it be covered as necessary transportation when the 737 MAX isn't currently being built and is not currently allowed to transport anybody? They are unnecessarily putting workers at risk in direct violation of the governor's orders. We are out here working with only hand sanitizer and no warm water to wash hands, as the CDC recommends. We are neither essential or expendable.
That needs to stop. I mean, period. I mean, that is being reckless. So whoever's decision it was to go around what is being told is putting people's lives at risk. And I mean, is it worth it at this point? Is it worth it?
Ursula, how many emails and text messages do we probably get a day? Emails, text messages, messages to the Facebook page?
Well, altogether, I'd say hundreds.
Over 600?
Yeah, probably.
And we don't get to all of them.
No.
We do.
We try to read all of them. We don't get to express all of them.
But the one thing that we try to do, and we do that because we want to find out what the people are talking about. Mm-hmm. It's the only way. It's tougher to find out what everybody's talking about when you're just talking to a couple people. But when you get texts like that, that's how you start to understand some of the things that's going on. Here's another text. 206 says, I'm a small remodeling contractor. We are currently working in an empty house, nobody there, just my employee and I have more exposure when I went to the grocery store than I do in this house, and I cannot work, and I know my employee cannot sustain two weeks of no income, even though there'll be any unemployment security. It makes no sense.
And those are the cases where it doesn't make sense. I mean, where if someone is going to be working by themselves and they need to do payroll or whatever it is to keep others afloat, it seems kind of silly to shut those down if they actually can follow the recommendations and stay safe.
Yesterday, I told you guys I had to go because the bulbs in my headlights were out, because I drove to work yesterday with no headlights because it was dark. And I had to go and get me some. And by the way, I'm really proud of myself. I finally learned how to do it on my own.
So now you have no headlights and you have expired tabs. You really
Ursula,
living on the edge.
Really? I mean, you didn't have to bring up the expired tabs.
Don't give them a reason to pull you over.
I really don't want to be pulled over, huh?
No.
Not in Sammamish, do
no.
I?
No.
Okay, but anyways, I had been seeing our text line in the last couple of days, and I hadn't been by it because everybody's like, hey, G and Ursula, why is Lowe's parking lot packed? Why is Home Depot parking lot packed? And you made a good point. You were like, well, you know, there's some people doing home projects, you know? And I was like, oh. So I hadn't really seen it myself, right? So I go to the auto repair store, and I went by Lowe's. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
It's like, well, I got time off, and the weather's good, so.
It was packed.
Spring project. And we're going to join the governor's press conference live. We're not hearing him. We're hoping to get Governor Inslee now.
People's hearts are with this family and the whole community and the loss of this proud trooper. You know, our state troopers, our nurses, our physicians, our grocery workers, they are protecting all of us at the risk of their own health right now. And in our own lives, as we struggle with some of the challenges we now have individually and as families, I hope we can keep in mind all of the people who are protecting us around the state. We appreciate their heroism, and we hope to match it with our commitment to stay home and stay healthy. As of midnight, 11 hours ago, our stay home, stay healthy order has completely gone into effect. And we are convinced that over the next 2 weeks, it will aid us tremendously in lowering the trajectory of the COVID-19 infection rate in our state. With more than 4 million registered businesses in our state and even more workers in various industries, my office and cabinet agencies have received many requests for guidance from people and businesses that want to be in compliance with this order. And I am very pleased at the response so far that people very much want to be part of Team Washington in this stay home, stay healthy mission. We really appreciate that. If people do have questions, we direct it to coronavirus.wa.gov. That's coronavirus.wa.gov. And it is both my intention and direction to state agencies to be helpful and patient with anyone who is trying to comply with this order. My office and other agencies, as well as stakeholders, are partnering with and want to make sure that we clearly communicate with all Washingtonians in this regard. And as I've said, so far, we have seen overwhelming compliance. And that is to be expected, I think, because Washingtonians know what it is to work together. We know what it is to overcome challenges. And we know what it is to take a little hardship for gain over the long run. There are also some exceptions to our orders that will help people stay connected, and staying connected is important. For example, religious institutions can have, under our order, a certain number of people present at the places of worship to ensure that online remote services can be afforded to their flocks. You know, anxiety in our state is understandably high right now. But I do want to reiterate, we may be hunkered down, but we are not locked down. You can leave your house for a walk. You can go for a drive. You can do things essential to your livelihood for these essential industries. We do want you to limit those activities in ways that make common sense, however, and it's probably not a good time to be driving across the state of Washington. It's time to hunker down closer in our neighborhoods. But there is urgency in this effort. We are fighting the same pandemic in every corner of our state, but it's being felt in different ways. I've heard questions from some residents and communities that are not in King, Snohomish, and Pierce County. Those are the states that have been hit the first with this virus. And some may folk think that action is not necessary outside of those counties. But the unfortunate reality is that today this virus is spreading across the entire state of Washington. And its method of transmission is simple. It is person to person. And whatever we are seeing in Seattle today
could be in Walla Walla fairly shortly, in Port Angeles, in Centralia. And so it is very clear that all of us really need to bend our shoulders to this task to save the entire state of Washington. The virus's devastation in some parts of our state is the kind we're desperately trying to halt in the rest of the state. So it is crucial that each and every one of us across the state maintain the social distancing that we know is our only weapon against this scourge. We are only in the first 2 weeks, and people need to understand this. This order may need to be extended. And the reason is we simply cannot allow this virus to be slowed, but then spring back upon us. We've got to pound it, and we've got to pound it till it's done. And I'm glad that Washingtonians are pitching into what is really a warfare against a fatal disease in our state. So this is a pause that will allow us to evaluate the progress that we are making to then determine next steps. Now, we do believe we are seeing some encouraging signs in the Puget Sound area, including progress on support of those experiencing homelessness. The FEMA Region 10 administrator has told me that additional facilities in the way of field hospitals are on the way for boosting our hospital capacity as the number of patients in our system increases. Brigadier General Peter Helmlinger of the Army Corps of Engineers has told me that they are now looking at sites in the state to add additional hospital surge capacity. So we are appreciative for this federal medical assistance because it is necessary to prevent our healthcare system and our workers from being even more overwhelmed. We also have fairly shortly, we hope in days, 146-bed hospital, field hospital coming, I believe, from Colorado, from the U.S. Army, for which we are appreciative. We have, and that is not the end of our surge capacity. As you know, Dr. Raquel Bono is now coordinating our surge efforts with private hospitals as well, and I think that is now a well-coordinated effort. We've ended elective surgeries to free up capacity, and we are now looking through the entire system for our medical equipment so that it can be distributed and given a priority where it is most effective. We've conducted more than 31,000 tests in our state, but we have very significant unmet needs in testing. And that is why it is so important for the federal government to increase its support for testing materials. I spoke to the President and the Vice President about this issue this morning, and so we need to continue some efforts, dramatic efforts, to increase testing capability. We have received significant shipments of personal protective equipment for health workers from the federal government, and we are appreciative of that. And I appreciate the federal government's efforts on many fronts in this regard. However, I do have profound long-term concerns about being able to procure these necessities. The state has been purchasing additional equipment from private vendors, and we have received donations, and thanks to everybody for that. We already cannot meet the demands coming in from around the state, however, for these critical supplies. Our state Department of Health, just to give you a feeling of how we're trying to solve these problems in real time, last night had an employee drive across the state of Washington from Shoreline to Spokane to pick up the vials that are needed to take the samples to send to the testing labs to deliver them to Yakima last night that had a critical demand. And I think this just illustrates the critical shortage we need, and we need the full energy of the manufacturing capacity of the United States of America to become engaged to manufacture these supplies. And we need a national system of procurement. That is the only way that we are going to get our national manufacturing base fully engaged in supplying what our local communities need. And it is the only way that we will be able to set priorities about where these crucial supplies can be achieved. Today we are in a mad scramble, frankly, with 50 states competing against one another for crucial supplies. Now, I've been talking to people with connections myself in China looking for these supplies, and I know other governors have been in the same position. So we need additional federal help, and we need a federal system to be able to be effective in this regard, just like we used in World War II. And I would note that in World War II, the battleship, the Missouri, that we had for years in Puget Sound, was not built by the state of Missouri. And that's the approach we need to take for the federal government to become totally engaged. Now, I do have some hopeful news. We know that this is still a dire challenge. We know this is a fateful disease. We know that we have not turned the corner, and we are not even close to the end of this battle. But we do think there's some evidence that our community mitigation strategies, the things we've done already to close schools, to close restaurants and theaters, to prohibit gatherings, we think these things have been able to slow the rate of increase in King, Snohomish, and Pierce counties. And if you'll look on your screen, I'd like to make a reference to this graph. If you look on the graph you're seeing, there's a blue line that basically tails off and down towards the end of the blue line. And this graph demonstrates the number of diagnosed infections over the last couple of weeks from an equivalent start date for wherever the state had a particular state had about a certain number of infections, 20 infections. So this basically puts all the states on the same starting point when they had 20 infections. And then it totals the number as it goes forward. So what you're seeing is that our line has gone up. Bad news. And fatalities have continued to increase. But if you'll look at the line, it has some slight reduction in the rate of its acceleration, the curve, the level of curve. And we've all heard about turning down the curve. This graph shows a very slight lessening of the rate of increase by looking at its curve. It's a small reduction of the rate of increase, but it is a glimmer of hope. And the reason it's a glimmer of hope is that this is suggestive that some of the things we're doing together is having some very modest improvement. And that ought to give us an additional commitment to the things we're doing today. Because the things we did 2 weeks ago are now appearing in our hospitals. And we want to continue that effort as well. Now, I want to reiterate something about this graph. Do we still have the graph up? Yeah, we still have. I hope the graph is on the screen. Thank you. We need to understand this. This is very important. We cannot let up on this virus, even if we get to a point where there's continuation of reducing the rate of increase. And we eventually want to see these numbers start to drop down on a weekly basis. But the fact is we have to hammer this until we can be assured that it will not spring back up. And so we will not be able to be confident that we can release some of our joint efforts in the state until we're very confident of that. Because it will not be successful to have a success these first 2 weeks and then give up with all of our efforts and have this thing spring back on us. We need our economy to come back as fast as possible. And the way to do this is to eliminate this virus in our state. So there's more work to be done. And we need testing, pervasive testing, before we'll be able to return to normalcy in our state. So our economic response moves on as well. This morning, the Department of Commerce announced $1.8 million in grants to rural Washington counties for a COVID-19 response. We are allowing retail stores to sell goods online and mailed to
customers. And I want to reiterate, they need to be mailed or somehow delivered in a remote fashion. We just can't have people crowding around the doors of our retail outlets right now. This week, I also authorized extended notary services and waived late penalties on tax payments from businesses to the Liquor and Cannabis Board. And last night, the Congress passed a stimulus bill that will provide critically needed support to workers, families, businesses, and hospitals across Washington. So I want to thank the Congress for acting on this, and I want to thank the President and Vice President of being open to our communications as we have gone through this. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to both him and the Vice President. But here's why the stimulus is so important. We have seen an 843% increase in new unemployment claims in just the last week. 2 weeks ago, the state received 6,000 unemployment claims. This week alone, we have received 133,000 claims. New claims are five times faster coming in than they were at any time during the last Great Recession. So we have seen nothing like this in our state's history. And as a result, our Employment Security Department is bringing on hundreds of staff to meet the public's needs. Now, we also want to thank the Congress in this stimulus bill. It has significantly expanded both access and the amount of unemployment insurance people will get, both to expand the number of people who are eligible so that part-time workers will now be eligible even though they don't have 680 hours. Some folks in the gig economy will be eligible, and the amount of the checks will also increase, and we think that this will be helpful. I want to remind folks that we are moving forward with a plan to make sure that older workers over 60 and those with health problems, even if they're in an essential business, if they feel for their health that they should stay home, they will have access to these benefits. That's a very important point. We're still trying to determine whether I can do that through executive action or whether I'd have to call back the legislature to get that done statutorily. I want to reiterate that our employees are going to be working really hard on this. I wish we could all tell people that checks could go out at noon today on that, but I think people realize it's going to be some period of time till we can get this system up and running for this huge expansion of needed help for people. So we have a lot of work to do in this regard. Our COVID-19 cases continue to rise. As of Wednesday afternoon, our state has 2,580 diagnosed cases and 132 deaths. Of those who have died, more than 90% were above the age of 60. Half of those Washingtonians were over the age of 80. And I want to just take a moment to again ask all of us to wrap all our loved ones in our arms, but a special huge embrace to those over the age of 60, to those who have some underlying health care concerns. If you're a 25-year-old today, I think the single most important thing you can do in your life is to call your parents and grandparents and make sure they're not going out, make sure they're not bringing the grandkids in to wrestle with, and make sure that every morning they wake up and figure out how they're going to enjoy their life at home. I think that's the most important thing we can all do right now, because these are the Washingtonians who are most at risk. Now, we are having fatalities of younger people, and that's why younger people, for their own protection, have to follow this social distancing as well. But this is a moment to care for our elders. I cannot overstate that. Now, we want to get back to life as we've been used to, and economy as we used to. And the faster we all turn to this right now in the next 2 weeks, the faster we're going to get to those bright days. And I'm confident that we can do that. I just want to note the other thing I feel good about is that how people are realizing that while we have to be physically unconnected, Washingtonians are understanding the importance to be emotionally connected. And I'm just hearing so many stories of families and friends who are really having great relationships electronically. And I know we have to be creative, but
We know that can work. I just want to put up on the screen, I've got a screenshot of a FaceTime meeting that our four generations had yesterday. You see in the left-hand corner, that's the newest Inslee, Annie Hazel Inslee. And in the middle is Trudy Inslee. That's Annie's grandmother. To her right is Trudy's mother, Trudy Tyndall, who is 102 years young, and you can see the great time she's having with new technology. And her comment about that FaceTime was, wow, this is so great that people invent new technology. She had a good time. Above her shoulder is Bonnie. She's in Wenatchee, Bonnie Tyndall, her daughter. And up in the right-hand corner are three rascals in Kitsap County, our grandkids. And I hope that this is being replicated so we can all be enjoying each other's company, and I know people are doing that. I'm loving to see here Washingtonians playing on the ukuleles and all the creative artwork they're doing. This is a time we can be together, and I know we are. So with that, I'm happy to stand for questions.
You have been listening to Governor Inslee. He is about to take questions. We will allow you to continue to listen in.
We are going to need significant additional medical personnel as this wave increases. And I am hopeful that retired nurses, retired physicians, people right out of these schools might consider coming back into practice. And we have cleared the decks to get those licenses restored on a very quick basis. So if you're retired general practitioners and you're willing to come in and help out, you know, for a few weeks, we hope you'll consider that. Physicians, assistants, phlebotomists, nurses, boy, you know, I think like Uncle Sam, we want you, and we hope you'll consider coming back into the practice even for a period of time. This could make all the difference in the world. If you are interested in that, if you can go to coronavirus.wa.gov and let us know of your interest, this Minuteman, Minutewoman sort of militia, medical militia could really do great things for our state. So I hope anybody out there could consider that. That would be great. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
Okay, we'll go first to Rachel with AP.
Governor, the call today between governors and President Trump, did you have any specific suggestions or concerns that you discussed to the president?
Yes, I'm not going to relate the specifics of that call. We want to continue to have an open line of communication with the White House. So, yes, I did make a recommendation, and it wouldn't shock you, you know, to some degree that it was along the lines of what I've expressed, that I think it would be very, very helpful if the federal government could be more assertive and aggressive and more organized in helping all of us to obtain these systems. And I do think that there is a unique position in the United States. It's the presidency. And Americans really respond to that. We've seen that a lot of times in American history. And I think if the White House calls manufacturers across the country, all of them, to spring to this, to come to some relationship with the federal government where we then could make good priorities of where these assets go and drive the hardest bargain with these sellers, it won't surprise you that the sellers are trying to get some pretty outrageous prices right now. And if the federal government can become the buyer, they got a lot better bargaining power than just the state of Washington. So I'm not going to relay the specifics of that call, but I'm hopeful that this can be considered. And I know that there are other governors who share this view.
And the governor is referring to the president using his powers under the Defense Production Act, which would force private businesses to make sure that these crucial supplies are produced at a much higher level.
These rates of cases may be slightly decreasing. But where are we on the curve of actual cases rather than the rate? Are we getting close to the peak? We know that. And how does that relate to
we put it up, Sam.
Of our hospital system?
Yes. By the way, before I forget, I want to mention a couple things. I thank the president and the vice president today, too. I want people to know that there is good communication going on with the White House. We are making suggestions, but I'm appreciative of that communication.
And we're looking at this graph, and I'm going to answer your question, but just a moment. I don't want to forget this. This graph shows the statewide numbers on a logarithmic scale, which is a statistical term, to show the change in the rate of increase. It does not show that what is going on in certain parts of the state. And this is of great concern, because while we've been able to
Okay, so you are not able to see this graph that the governor is showing, but he is reiterating what he said earlier in his address, which is that we are seeing some encouraging news. We're going to go back to this news conference, but I just want to share this with you because you can't see the graph that he's showing. But he said that if there is anything positive that is coming out right now, it is that even though we have not turned the corner, we're not even close to ending this battle, he says there is some evidence that we are slowing the rate of the increase of coronavirus in King, Snohomish, and Pierce counties. It's a very small reduction of the rate of increase, but he calls it a glimmer of hope that some of the things that we are doing collectively is making a difference.
So you're seeing that it looks like we've had a very modest reduction in the rate of change, but it is not sufficient if we do not continue to bend that curve down. I just want to make that the strongest statement for people to understand. We shouldn't be within 10,000 miles of champagne corks on this, because if we do not continue to increase this, a lot of people are going to die across the state of Washington, perhaps hundreds even more. So two things I take from this chart. One, we have a long ways to go. And two, we are being smart and strategic in our state. And it does have the capability of helping us dramatically. Those are two things that we got to keep in mind simultaneously. Does that answer your question? Is there anything else I could include?
Hey, I wonder how this relates to the capacity of the hospital system. You know, there have been warnings about the hospital system being overwhelmed. Are we close to that point, or are there still enough beds?
The good news is our system is not overwhelmed today. However, it is absolutely necessary that we dramatically increase our hospital capacity, or we will be overwhelmed if we don't get this curve down to negative very, very quickly. Just to have some scale, now don't hold me too much to these numbers, but to give you some scale of this challenge, about 10 days ago, we looked at our capacity that might be about 10,000 beds. And if this curve was not dramatically decreased, we could have a need for 5,000 beds in the next week or two. So this is a huge challenge for us to be able to surge that capacity. And even more daunting, many if not most of the endangered citizens need ICU care, which is obviously a whole new, another kettle of fish in the type of instruments we need and equipment we need in these beds. So it is crucial that we get the federal Army help. There is one other thing I'm not sure I mentioned, that we've talked to Region 10 of FEMA, and they have assured us that on top of the Army facilities I've referred to, that they are going to be sending us two field hospitals as well. We do not have the date for their arrival, but it is critical that we have those hospitals. Now, we also have a statewide effort to increase our capacity in existing hospitals. So Dr. Bono is now working with all of the hospitals to determine how they can increase both their bed capacity, which is critical in their existing buildings, but also bring in the personnel that is necessary to actually care for those patients and get access to this equipment. This is why getting an additional ventilator capacity is so important. We've had some help from the federal government. We think we have a commitment of several hundred ventilators, but we need more than that, and that's why we are searching the globe for additional ventilators literally as we speak. Just to let you know how I am concerned about this, I've talked to a local businessman in my neighborhood with extensive ties in China. He is helping us find ventilators. So we are making an all-out effort in this regard. This also comes back to my request for folks who might be able to come out in retirement to help us, because it's not enough to have beds. We've got an additional about 1,200 beds that have been delivered so far, but the beds have to have physicians, nurses, physicians' assistants, and equipment. And that all has to be there in place. So we have a lot of work to do before we feel confident in our ability to care for all these patients.
All right, next question is going to be Ethics.
You're listening to Governor Inslee. This is the G and Ursula Show.
Washington State in this federal package that is passing, and is it nearly enough? How much money does Washington State, its cities, other localities really need?
I don't have a specific dollar for you at the moment. We haven't had a chance to evaluate the whole legislation. But my sense is that what the legislature has done and what the Congress has done from a national perspective, I suspect there's going to have to be more to be done on the financial side. If you look at these unemployment numbers that are cascading in by the thousands, this is going to be a deep trench that we're going to have to get over. And I suspect we're going to have to do significantly more. That's just one governor's non-actuarial accurate assessment of what's going to go on. You look, for instance, there is dollars, I'm told, in the stimulus bill that might be able to help our rural hospitals that are usually on financial thin ice anyway. There is so much money that has to be done to help our rural medical system. And I just suspect there's probably, and I've heard several legislative leaders federally to say that, and that's my sense as a state as well. Now, people have asked me about calling a special session of the legislature. I've been talking to the leaders of both parties, and by the way, who have all been very helpful in this. I'm very appreciative of the bipartisan leadership that's going on in our state legislature, and I hope it's going to bear fruit. But the point is, when we need to call a special session, we will have no fear calling a special session and making sure that job gets, whatever job is necessary, gets done.
Now we're going to go to Chris Daniels
with Team 5. Governor, I had a couple of questions. One, as far as I'm concerned, we've had a lot of questions and confusion over construction and your mandates on construction. Mm-hmm. I know you issued some exemptions yesterday. When it comes to housing and critical civic projects. So can you
the question is about construction jobs and what are considered essential.
Projects that will qualify for exemption. And then the second is building off the other question about the federal stimulus package. Where will people in Washington State see the immediate impact? Those are the two questions.
Yeah, on the stimulus package, to me, the most important is the immediate distribution of funds to families. And the unemployment insurance is maybe one of the most important vehicles that will expand unemployment insurance to more people, even though they have minimal hours. It will expand it to some gig workers. I haven't seen the exact definition of that. And it will increase the amount. I believe the number is $600 of whatever you otherwise would be available to have. So that may be the most family-centric thing. Now, there's also some basic cash distribution, and I'm sure people can read in the media about that specific thing. There is assistance to our medical communities, as I talked about, which is extremely important, and there is some assistance for states. It won't surprise you that a lot of governors don't believe that will be significant or will not be sufficient. And I'm sure there will be further discussions about how to help states more with their specific challenges as well. And there is also assistance to some of the vital industries, including aerospace, in our state. So there is a number of avenues. As I've said, I suspect this will not be sufficient to the needs to restore our economy. And I want to kind of repeat on restoring our economy. Look, this pause we're having in our economy is not the worst idea for our economy. It might be the best, because the only time we're going to get back to full economic activity is by beating this virus. The number one thing we have to do to restore our economy to health is to beat this virus. There is no way to have a healthy economy and have this virus keep ravaging us for years. So this is an economic growth strategy. And the sooner we can get on top of this, the faster our jobs are going to come back. And so I think this is not just a health issue. It is an economic recovery strategy as well. And we got to keep people afloat during that period of time. Now, the first part of your question was, help me out again, Emily. What was the first part of your question again? I've forgotten it.
Just in terms of the construction.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. So the best thing for people to do is to look at the order, and they can go on coronavirus.wa.gov and actually read the order so they can get the sense of what the order actually says. But I will try to paraphrase it to the best I can. Basically, construction activity needs to pause in the state of Washington with certain exceptions. One, construction that is necessary for essential businesses, like grocery stores. We have to keep grocery stores open and healthy, and so construction for grocery stores and the like is allowed. And there is a definitional part of the order that defines what those essential, some of those essential businesses are. The second part, the thing that we added yesterday, we actually clarified, is that construction for public entities, cities, counties, for public purposes, construction for those purposes are allowed. Third, construction that is necessary to preserve existing assets is allowed. And so if you've got a construction project and we've had to put a pause on it, but if you don't shore up the embankment, it's going to collapse. That type of work to prevent what lawyers call despoliation is allowed to protect those existing assets. Other than that, construction needs to pause, and that's difficult. And there's going to be some kind of gray areas here, but we ask people to keep in mind our grandparents and our grandkids when we make decisions in those gray areas. This is personal to me. I've got family members in construction, so this is not an easy decision, but I'm totally convinced it's the right one so we can get back construction as soon as we can by restoring the health of our economy.
Time for a few more questions. Okay, we're going to go to Charles in Columbia-based Harold.
Governor, is there going to be any financial assistance available to rural health departments or health districts and rural hospitals? And is there any concern about hospital capacity in rural areas like ours?
Yeah, you bet we're concerned about that. We want to build capacity all over the state of Washington, and the reason is that this virus is heading in every direction, in every community, large and small, across the state of Washington. So we are intensely committed to doing everything we can to increase capacity in all of our hospitals in the state of Washington. Now, some of the first assets may go to the hospitals that get hit earliest, but eventually we have to have capacity across the state of Washington. So we have taken steps to help financially. We've committed $2 million is just a start to help these rural hospitals as they go through this period. And it's harder for the rural hospitals because, for instance, we've had to stop elective surgeries so we could stockpile the masks and the gowns and the ventilators. And so we don't use them right now on things we don't have to do right now and stockpile them when the wave hits us. But this has been hard on rural and small hospitals because that's a good part of their income. Now, the federal government has also put a fairly significant number, I don't have off the top of my head, that will help smaller hospitals. And we'll make sure that that gets distributed here as quickly as possible.
That was Governor Jay Inslee talking to us during the press conference. And if there's something else that comes out of that press conference, of course, our news team will have that up for you. But right now we have Ursula Roytine, who is going to recap some of the things that you might have missed.
And this has gone on now for about 50 minutes. So I'm just going to quickly recap some of the highlights, including, and maybe the most promising thing is that Governor Inslee has said, because of the social distancing that has been happening and with many, many people being great about compliance, not everybody, but many, he says that there is a glimmer of hope when you look at the rate of infection in Western Washington. And specifically, he said that we're seeing a slow in the rate of increase, but he emphasized that we are nowhere close to seeing what is called the flattening of the curve. So it's still going upward, but it's not going upward in the rate that it was going earlier. The other thing he said is that our hospital system is not overwhelmed yet, but he says they don't want to get it to that point. So there was a call for, you know, doctors and nurses who have recently retired, if they can come out of retirement, that they would be welcomed and would be put to work. He also says that FEMA is sending two field hospitals. We don't know a date for arrival yet. They're working statewide to increase capacity within hospitals. More beds also needs more personnel. And he also mentioned that he has asked the president and vice president to use the Defense Production Act so that there is a regular supply of these necessary pieces of equipment and safety gear, you know, that we have talked about, the personal protection equipment that is in severe shortage all across the country and also in the state of Washington.
Couple things that also stood out. He also talked about the unemployment claims. 2 weeks ago, it was 6,000. Up now, there were 130,000 unemployment claims.
As of last week, and that's going to go up.
And that's going to probably go up. One of the things that stood out to me was 90% of those that have died in Washington state of COVID-19 have been over the age of 60. And those that have died over the age of 60, 45% of that total affected were over the age of 80 and everything.
Yeah, the other thing that stood out, too, is that he was asked about construction, and because that is the question that we get most. And we reported that the Department of Transportation is going to be shutting down almost all of its construction work. The job sites need to be secured by the end of the day. But there's still a long list of construction that can continue.
Can I just sum up what we heard?
Yes.
And this is my favorite part. I love to go through all the facts, and you do a great job of that, Ursula. And I try to give a couple facts, but you do the facts better than me. Here's what I heard. As far as construction goes, it's still a little bit of a gray area. Sounds like to me, though, if you're private, sit home. If you are government, you good. Now, that's the gray area. That's the vibe that I got. That wasn't a fact. That was an opinion of mine. That's the vibe that I felt.
I was going to say, but although the construction project DOT's on pause.
Okay. But it's still a lot of gray area.
Yes, absolutely.
So make sure if you're construction, you might want to dig into that.
And they've been hammering this website to go to. It is coronavirus.wa.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Because hopefully that can offer you some guidance.
I really thought today was going to be a lot more clear. It's a little bit, but I think there's a lot of questions to be answered. Last point I want to make, it feels like when Governor Jay Inslee started talking to us 2 weeks ago, it felt PG-13. I'm taking that from Chef. It felt PG-13. Today, it feels PG. And Governor Cuomo, when he talks to New York, it's rated R. It's right to the nitty-gritty and right to the truth.
Yeah. I agree.
It has been a Gene Ursula Show. Ursula, thank you.
Thank you.
Chef, thank you, man.
See y'all tomorrow.
Larry!
Thank you, man.
All right. Means words, guys, to the show. Dory Monson's show comes up next. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.